Last week, I received a copy of Notre Dame Magazine, which is the alumni magazine of my alma mater. And one of the articles that I read troubled me. It was entitled, Overbooked. And it was written by a current student about the vicarious nostalgia she felt in going through her parents' scrapbooks from their time at Notre Dame versus her own experience of the university. What was interesting to me was that her parents had gone to Notre Dame in the 80s when I was there. And the scrapbooks and photos that she showed in her article reflected a great deal of what I experienced. There were photos of costume parties, of students using landlines. There were handwritten notes and handwritten invitations. And she compared it all to her own digital world, where everything revolved around her smartphone, social media, Snapchat, and texting. It really made me think about one aspect of the parable that Jesus gives us in the gospel today, especially the seed sown among the thorns. Her experience at Notre Dame seems to be filled with worldly anxiety and the lure of riches, which choke the word, and the seed bears no fruit. Seems such a far cry from my experience at Notre Dame. Although I hated the winters in South Bend and the academics were definitely challenging, my memories are of the beauty there, the lifelong friends, laughter, and a faith community that is second to nowhere else. Instead of dissecting the parable today, because Jesus already did it, let's focus on one point in this gospel passage. Namely, that we bear fruits in our life from the word of God that's been sown in us. And it's connected to our love of creation, our love of each other, and our love of God. I was at Notre Dame 2 years ago for my reunion, and I was amazed at how much more beautiful the campus was than when I was there. Although there's more concrete, there are many more trees and shady places. This year, Travel and Leisure voted Notre Dame the third most beautiful college campus in the country. Yet in this article this poor student wrote, there's no mention of the beautiful campus. Of course, the landscape crew gets a lot of credit, but Isaiah tells us in the first reading that the rain and the snow come down and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful. God has given us this beautiful planet, from the mountains to the plains to the seas and the rivers. Just going outside and being in nature helps us to ease earthly anxieties. Our constant connectedness to news from all over the world can fill us with anxiety about things that we can do nothing about. Our appreciation of what God has given us in creation produces the fruit of thanksgiving. But unique among God's creation are us, made in the image and likeness of God. We are God's gift to each other. And that's not to say this life is all about wine and roses. As St. Paul tells us, all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. My fellow Notre Dame student seems to use social media for most of her social interaction. She Snapchats and gives likes to Instagram stories. Our time is far better spent on real socialization, having dinner and laughing with friends, as I did Friday night. That's what reminds us that we are not alone in this valley of tears. When we're with each other in person, we are with others created in the image and likeness of God. We can laugh with each other, but sometimes it's even crying with each other that brings us closer. Many of my closest friends are those with whom I have shared the most profound pain. But carrying crosses together produces the fruit of charity. But our love of creation and our love for each other is only fruitful if it helps us grow in our love for God. The gospel today tells us that Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea, but the crowds were so large that he got into a boat. You can visit the spot where this happened. It's called the Cove of the Sower on the Sea of Galilee. And from the shore of the sea, there is a gradual slope which rises up to a hill. And due to the natural acoustics, scientists have shown that upwards to 20,000 people could have been seated between the shore and the crest of the hill and still heard Jesus speaking in a natural voice. That is our God, whose voice, whose word was heard without audio equipment or smartphones. He came to his people as they were. But that same voice, that same word, comes to us today, exhorting us to bear fruit in the same way. And today, grains of wheat, which have been ground into flour and baked into bread, is transformed by the word of God into the sacred body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is given to us in the Eucharist so that we can come into holy communion with him. Such is our God's love for us that we humbly reciprocate simply by being here for Mass. At the University of Notre Dame, the Blessed Sacrament is reserved in a chapel in every residence hall on campus. Nowhere outside of Rome are there so many tabernacles in such proximity to each other. Yet in the article I read, my poor Notre Dame friend mentions not one word about faith in her article. No wonder she is so anxious. Two of the happiest days of my time here as pastor was when we processed the Blessed Sacrament from St. Stephen's and restored Jesus in the tabernacle in St. Henry Church after it had been closed for some time. The next time was after the closed Our Lady Good Counsel Church celebrated the first Mass in 5 years, and we placed the Blessed Sacrament back in that chapel. From here, Jesus is helping us to bear fruit in our lives. The fruit of the love of God is our hope for eternal life.